Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. From a local business to a global corporation.
Partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful you'll make every move matter.
Visit bankofamerica.com/banking for business to learn more.
What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.
Hi, this is Imran Ahmed, founder and CEO of The Business of Fashion. Welcome to the BOF podcast. It's Friday, February 9th. Pat Boguslawski is the Polish movement director setting the fashion world in motion. He created the German model Leon Dame's viral runway stomp that closed the spring-summer 2020 Maison Margiela show. Last month in Paris, he reconnected with longtime collaborator John Galliano to design the seductive broken doll movements that captivated audiences at the Margiela Couture show.
There have been few shows that had this kind of instant impact and lingering impact as well. It felt like a return to the incredible, grand, visionary days of fashion in the 1990s.
I always tell the models that sometimes it's better to give more than less. For me, movement is so important. You know what I mean? Imagine watching that collection with like a street walk.
This week on the BOF podcast, our editor-at-large Tim Blank sits down with Pat to examine his role in creating some of fashion's most memorable recent runway moments. Here's Pat Boguslawski with Tim Blank's on the BOF podcast.
Hello, this is Tim Blanks. For the BOF podcast this week, we are talking to Pat Boguslawski, who on January the 25th in Paris under a full moon was one of the main players in John Galliano's extraordinary show for Maison Margiela's artisanal collection. People are still talking about the show, and in my many decades in fashion, there have been few shows that had this kind of instant impact and lingering impact as well. John Galliano used to be amazing at making this kind of magic. And I think that's really what excited a lot of people, is that it felt like a return to the incredible, grand, visionary days of fashion in the 1990s. Now, Pat was the movement director for the production, and anyone who has the good fortune to be there will obviously, their heads will be swimming with visions of the incredible-looking creatures moving in the most incredible way around the artisanal set. So, Pat, I'm dying to find out what the secret of all that magic was. Is there one? Or is it just a lot of hard work?
Hard work.
Welcome, John. First of all. Welcome.
Hi, Tim. How are you doing?
Hi, Pat.
Hi, everyone. Yeah, it was definitely hard work, and obviously the maestro John Galliano that put all the team together, and he creates the most iconic collections, plus the full moon, right?
How important was the full moon, do you think?
I definitely liked the fact that it was going pretty good together with the whole setting and everything that was happening, you know, at this location.
But there was a witchcraft in that show.
Yeah.
And I think it was everything. I think it was the way that the clothes and the sound, you know, the way the music went from that version of Fast Love, George Michael, to Vivaldi, and the strange combination and then the movement. I mean, the corseting, first of all, the bodies of the models were corseted into quite extreme shapes.
Absolutely.
And your movement that you directed amplified.
Yeah. Those and shows. It was very hard for me because, I mean, hard in a way that I wasn't wearing the corset. So I couldn't really imagine how they really felt. I mean, I could only imagine, but I couldn't kind of experience it on myself. But I was very aware to give them really good directions so they could feel obviously free, but at the same time, comfortable. You know what I mean? I didn't want to see any pain, but there was a lot of pain.
What's that?
I mean, in a way, obviously, that they felt very limited. And obviously, the corsets were super tight.
I thought they were trained into the corsets.
They were trained.
Over the weeks.
Yeah.
The muses,
like, I feel
the
like it's like wearing uncomfortable high heels. You know what I mean? Mm. So they were kind of maybe feeling a little bit restricted. And I was telling some of the models, you know, if they felt uncomfortable in their looks, I remember saying, use that, you know, use that pain, use that suffer in your character. Just use whatever you're feeling right now. If you're wearing uncomfortable shoes or maybe they're too high, just don't try to fake it. Don't try to be perfect. Just let me see the suffering.
So what was the process? How did you work with John? You've worked with John Galliano for years now.
Yeah, 6-7 years now, yeah.
This obviously was the consummate creation for you both.
Yeah.
How did you work with him on the show? What was the actual creative process?
It's really interesting because John is the only one designer that is booking me for all the fitting days. I'm with him basically 7 or 6 days already before the show. So I'm part of the whole process of the fittings and styling. And he is obviously trying to give me a lot of time for the preparation, which is amazing because other designers would just probably book me for like a rehearsal. And then they try to create something magical within like 2 days. And sometimes that is really impossible to create something like that on that level. And John is pretty much aware of that. And he is giving me like a lot of time to make sure everything just looks perfect. And I love that. You know what I mean? Like we have a lot of time to discuss ideas. And obviously the first day I arrived there at the Margiela, he is showing me his inspirations and playing me the music. And then we just go straight to the fittings, into the fittings. And then we create each character together. And I think at this point, he has so much trust to me that he just let me do my work before he sees any models already kind of ready to, you know, show him the look. So Olivier Rizzo would do his styling and then I would just go to the model and then I would just tell them to look in the mirror and see themselves and think about how they feel in this clothes. And then I would drop some ideas, like acting ideas. And I would be like, okay, how about you're going to move this way and that way? And I kind of usually show them on my own body. And then they kind of sometimes ready to go. And my job is to, I guess, make John feel inspired, you know? I want him to get excited, you know? So like I said to you, before he sees them wearing the look, I want them already to kind of give him some specific walk, some acting role, you know what I mean? So John gets excited about this whole show.
Do you have any sense that he, because you've worked with him for a while and he trusts you, that he's able to design for the movement that you're able
absolutely.
To create?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's, you know, his expectations, that he just want me to match the feeling that he creates.
Because it is so not typical of a fashion show, the movement in that show, the movement that you've choreographed for him in his shows. In this particular show, for example, the way the women moved was a more, they were incredibly curvaceous, incredibly shapely. He really, the extreme shape there, he went for very kind of voluptuous women, which right away is very different from what we're used to seeing.
Of course.
Their movement was so different from the movement of the male models. Well, the male models looked tortured and they looked like
tough
and they looked like they were
cheeky.
Fighting through storms and fighting through a gale force wind.
Yeah.
And that was the cut of the clothes I read, that the coats were cut to give that kind of urgency. But obviously, you're creating the movement, that the urgent movement that the clothes are.
Yeah, like,
I was curious about that.
John is a director, so he obviously is giving me ideas. He's telling me what he wants to see. And based on that, I just need to make sure that they move in the right way. And I do have a lot of freedom. He gives me a lot of freedom. He trusts me. But I always tell the models that sometimes it's better to give more than less. I think that's always the key, you know what I mean? Because then we can kind of take it down. If you don't like something, we can be like, okay, we didn't like this, you know, maybe you can do it a little bit calmer. But I don't know, for me, movement is so important, you know what I mean? Imagine watching that collection with like a street walk. I think for me, it's like, what is important is that if I'm part of the audience, I wanna imagine how I would feel wearing those clothes. You know, who I would become.
And who were those people? Because it was set up with a film before. And, and there was that wonderful moment. I love when you're breaking the fourth wall. When
Leon Dame.
When he comes, he's walking down the street in the film. And he opens a door, goes in through the door, and he walks onto the set of the show. I love things like that. Yeah. I'm such a sucker for kind of.
But I, you know what? I was thinking if I was actually like coming to watch that show, I wouldn't know where I would want to be if I would like try to be outside or inside, because, you know, you see obviously that major opening, but then you're not part of what's happening inside. So you're kind of missing out too. So I was very confused.
I always think it's better to be inside, not outside. Always, it's usually
inside was more like intimidating, I would say, right?
To be inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're much closer.
Well, I don't think intimidating, much more seductive, because when Leon walks, and Leon, I think of Leon as being a very critical person in this, in your relationship with John, your creative partnership with John, because he seems to be the muse. John calls them his muses, these kids, these boys and girls, who gets it the most from that moment 4 years ago where he walked in a show and blew everybody's heads.
But he always did. He was always ready. And I think the magic with him is that he did his research. Like, he knew who's John Galliano. You know, he watched his shows, and I think he kind of understood the language, you know, of his magic. And I remember him coming to the fittings back in the day, and he was just like asking me questions like, who am I? Who is, you know, what's my character? And I always loved that about him. You know what I mean? Like, he was ready to create. And a lot of models don't have that, you know? A lot of people just come to the fittings and they don't even pay attention to what they're wearing, which is really sad, isn't it?
But 4 years ago, when he did that first walk, that really set the prototype.
When he closed the show.
Yeah, they closed the show. Was that a spontaneous thing, or had you actually worked with him on that?
Yeah, we did. We did a little bit of work. I mean, we basically focused about how he should obviously pose and the energy, but we gave him also a lot of freedom. But I think we didn't definitely expect, you know, what happened. Like, we didn't think it's going to go viral like that. Because we were in the process of working. So we're not kind of making things to just break the internet, you know? We just want to create good work, and we just so busy that we're not thinking about the impact. We just like want to create something that we feel is right.
Why do you think it went viral like that, though? Because when something like that happens, it usually suggests that there's a real hunger, that people have just been waiting.
They were waiting for a long time.
For a long time.
A long time,
really,
yeah.
For a long time.
I mean, it just felt very brave, right? Like, his walk and attitude, and also the fact that, like, he did some contact with the audience, and I think with Anna Wintour, and it just felt very brave. And I think people also love the fact that he just didn't really care. Like, he didn't care. He just knew that he's like great, and he just went for it. And also the music, the clothes, I think everything. I don't know. I mean, it was like 4 years ago, but I remember it went really viral and people were going nuts. Absolutely. And I was so happy for him, because he deserves all the attention, you know?
So it's been building since then through all the Galliano shows you've done. You did the movie Inferno. They're quite challenging because, as you say, people are used to going, sitting in a fashion show, models come out, they go, yeah, and they go off and see another fashion show.
And I think that's why I started doing my job, because I got bored. I just didn't like where we, like the direction we're going towards. And, you know, I also modeled myself when I was younger and I did a show from Alexander McQueen, and I wanted to give it all. And then people were like, I mean, not actually specifically with this show, because I was basically booked for McQueen show and we were doing rehearsals. And I remember Sarah just stopped everything and she started being really annoyed with the models, how they walk, and she tried to find somebody and I was like, who is she looking for? And then she came to me and she grabbed my hands and she said, thank you so much, thank you so much. And I was like, what are you talking about? Thank for what? And she's like, you're the only one who understands the movement and I love your work. Can you show everyone how it's done? And I was like, I'm not gonna do that. And she's like, why not? I was like, everybody's gonna hate me. She's like, come on, we're just gonna play the music and you're just gonna show them how it's done. And I was like, okay, you want it, you got it. So, and then I did it. And, but yeah, like I'm thinking now, I was always very much into fashion and I was watching a lot of shows like in the late 90s and 2000s. And even when I was a dancer, I kept buying like Italian Vogue and French Vogue all the time. And I kind of realized that everything is all about the product and not anymore about the story. We don't tell any stories. We're just focusing too much on like how to sell the product and how to like make it look good.
When you say Leon comes in and he says, what's my character? You know, like, yeah, Mr. Hitchcock, what's my motivation? It's exactly like Linda Evangelista. Yeah. I mean, it's like those incredible women.
Absolutely.
Who just,
and I always get so frustrated with models because sometimes you feel when they just there only for the money. They just don't care about the clothes. They don't care about who they work with. They don't care about the story, the mood board. But when I was a model, like when I was around 20, 22, I was always like asking my agent, okay, who am I working with? Who's the stylist? I was doing my research, like trying to find their work on models.com. And then I was like showing up on set, asking people like, okay, like who am I today? You know what I mean? Who am I going to become? So later on, I realized that I guess I need to like step it up and start bringing that energy back into fashion.
Okay, well, you feel that this is a watershed moment, like a turning point, that actually to make fashion so exciting, to make it,
yeah,
so...
Yeah, that was my mission. And in 2015, I remember I told myself, okay, this is so boring. I'm so, like, I don't want to buy any Vogue anymore. I don't want to, like, keep spending money on any magazines because I don't feel excited. And I promised myself that I'm going to start bringing that energy back to fashion and create major runway moments.
Did you research major runway moments and from the past? Did you look at some of the great fashion
Absolutely, shows?
Could you find
but
them?
I was just like, you know, when I lived in Poland when I was a kid, first of all, I was always obsessed with MTV and VH1. And then it was fashion TV because there was no Instagram. And I remember Fashion TV was the only channel that could take you to backstage and show you how people work in fashion and obviously fashion shows. So I remember Fashion TV was all the time on my TV, you know, basically like 6-8 hours a day. So I did my research when I was a kid and then when I was a teenager, but I wasn't doing it thinking, oh yeah, I'm going to become a movement director in like 15 years or something. You know what I mean? I just knew everything. And when I decided to become a movement director, it was just in me, you know what I mean? Because I was just already fascinated by fashion. I knew who was John Galliano. I knew who was McQueen.
So what is the difference between a movement director and a choreographer?
To me, choreography, I think it's making you more limited because you have to learn the steps. Movement direction is like being a director, but being a director who understands how to move. So I'm giving you directions. So I'm making you look good by taking the best out of you, if that makes sense. I make you feel more free and I inspire you with my own body. I'm directing you. But with choreography, I give you exactly the steps you have to follow and follow again and again and again. With movement directions, it's obviously way different. You just feel more free. You just feel more inspired. But for me, it's not only like the movement, but also acting. And that's why I guess I went to study drama acting for about 3 years, because through mind, you can get into, you know, human's body and control them and control the movement.
Because there've been some incredible choreographers who've worked with fashion, especially during the pandemic and after the pandemic, when fashion needed to find another way to communicate.
Yeah.
Some of the best shows I've ever seen have been in that period when you had people like Damien Jallet at Undercover and Carol Armitage at Marc Jacobs and some amazing stuff. But it's interesting when you say that you feel that choreographers, they actually direct the movement in a more specific way, whereas you're like a movie director with an actor.
Yeah.
And you give them a character, and within the character, they have
the
freedom to do their interpretation.
Yeah, because I also want them to understand why they're doing what they're doing. I don't want them to be like, oh, can you move this way, but then not give them any explanation why. That would be a bit silly, right? I want them to have more fun. I want them to understand their character. And also, I think, you know, that's modeling. You become an actor, right? In front of the camera, they give you makeup, they give you hair, they give you different looks. And it's nice to kind of take it that way.
But that's the interesting thing, because as you said, so many models are not up to that challenge. And that was what was interesting about John's show, is that they weren't models that you see. They weren't the usual models. So it just, looking at that, you thought, oh, well,
there were a lot of like models that are actually working pretty good, but I think you couldn't recognize them because of their makeup.
Yeah, no, I recognize some of them. I mean, obviously, there were people who'd seen in other shows, but that is a challenge to models, that you're giving them a character and then giving them freedom to interpret that character.
But you know what's interesting? I think they're more open to work with us just because they saw the impact of Leon and how everything went viral. So they kind of understood, oh my God, like I need to be more fun. I need to do something more crazy, probably on the runway, because that's what people want right now. You know what I mean? That's the attention.
Leon's the ultimate influencer.
Probably, yeah. And also I think it's, you know what's amazing? When now they feel more ready and they feel more open and they get more excited. Like, I don't need to push them so hard like before. I remember before I have to like teach them more and more and give them more notes. And I think nowadays they just collaborate with me a little bit more, which is nice. I think what was amazing about this show that we just did with John was, I remember we were watching the main rehearsal and they were wearing shoes, their own clothes and the corsets. And the whole rehearsal got standing ovation by everyone who was in the room. And I never seen anything like it, because I thought, oh my God, they're not even having a makeup done. They're not having hair. They're not even wearing clothes. We just hear the music and they're walking in their own clothes. And that is already getting standing ovation. That was insane. That was really insane. I never experienced something like it. And I think for the first time in my history, you know, with working with John, I felt pretty calm. I mean, after the last rehearsal, I think I can chill for now, because it was just magical. And I knew the show gonna be amazing. I was just like, wow, if I see something like this, and everybody from the team, Duffy, Pat McGrath, John, giving them, you know, standing ovation, I was like, I can't even imagine what it's going to look like when they're going to be ready in their own, I mean, in the clothes and, you know, full makeup and hair.
That was a quite extreme assignment in every way. I mean, it was the intensity of the storytelling, the whole thing was a very complete experience, and it was quite overwhelming and people cried. I mean, I almost could cry when I think about it. It was just so overwhelming. But Then I go, I look at what you did with Haider Ackermann when he was the guest designer at Jean-Paul Gaultier, a completely different kind of movement, but equally kind of enthralling to see the women on that runway moving in a very, very different way, but obviously interpreting a very specific idea. So tell me about that, because it's such a contrast and it really shows how movement direction can, you know, what it can really add to a variety of shows.
Yeah, I did that show, I think last year, right, in January. And then I think I was there with Haider only for 2 days. I wasn't there that long. But I remember I lost my voice during the show day just because I had about 45 models. You know, we did the fittings the day before. And then I remember, I mean, the show would look completely different if I didn't tell the production to bring me each model before they go straight to hair and makeup, because I knew there is no time. You know, a lot of girls, like supermodels, they just want to arrive 2 hours before the show to get hair and makeup done. And I had, like, you know, the Jean-Paul Gaultier, the building, the space is super, super big. And I had to obviously create the walk and the choreography, how and where they ending, and, you know, and I remember like grabbing each model before they were going to hair and makeup and try to explain what I want one by one. So I had to speak to about 45 models and I lost my voice, but I can't really remember what I was telling them, because obviously that was like last year. But we spoke with Haider. I mean, he's such an amazing guy and I mean, such a gentleman. And it was amazing to work with him, but he wanted to keep everything super like classy. But I was like, you know what? We got to go hard. Like, let's just do more couture. You know what I mean? It was obviously couture.
That was your decision to do
that. But I wanted to push the movement a little bit more. But yeah. I think with some designers, they just feel, they just don't want them to maybe look too theatrical. That makes sense. So I was thinking in my head, okay, everything about this collection is major. Like even hair done by Eugene and makeup done by Lucy Bridge, it was insane. And I was thinking, okay, I gotta do something specific here. So we only had music that was about, I think, maybe 10 minutes. And I was like, guys, we're never going to get the show done in 10 minutes. We need about 30 minutes because we need to see a lot of space. We need to let them breathe. And I think Haider was on the same page. She was like, there's just way too many people on the runway. And we only had one rehearsal for that show, only one with everyone. But I was freaking out. But I remember some members of the team were already telling me that it looks amazing, so I shouldn't stress. But I remember I went to the guy who was actually producing the music and I said, listen, we need to have another 20 minutes. So he did that. And I remember like standing backstage with Haider and the rest of the team. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to like create things on spot because I don't have time. Like we're about to start the show. So I was like going to each model and I was like looking what they're wearing. And I was like, okay, you're moving this way. Okay, you're moving that way. Okay, see this part? Okay, you're going to turn around. And so I was just going nuts. Like I was
imagining you with Irving Penn, books of Irving Penn and Richard Avedon photographs.
Yeah, I was just like writing things.
It wasn't like that though. I mean, it wasn't researched. You actually were making that up on the spot.
Yeah, and I always work like this. I don't like to, I mean, I don't really do a lot of research. I mean, I do research in terms of like music. I like when music is taking me somewhere. And I think music is the only thing that really inspires me to create movement. So I need to have a good playlist and that's all I need. And I obviously need to see the collection and who we're working with and the set and lighting is super important. And that is giving me enough information to create something for designers.
We'll be right back with more on the BOF podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Have you ever owned something that inspired you to up your game? For me, I got a chef-grade range recently, and now I'm cooking new things every single night. Seriously, no cuisine is off limits. The point is, when we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. The all-new Lexus GX has an exceptional capability that will have you seeing possibilities you never knew existed. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. I can picture myself with a car full of groceries, cruising down the highway, soaking up the sun with the available dynamic sky panorama glass roof. Ugh, pure bliss. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX. Luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.
You know that's the sound of another sale on your online Shopify store. But did you know Shopify powers selling in person too? That's right. Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/BOF, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BOF to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/BOF.
Now, movement direction doesn't only apply to runway shows. It also applies to photo shoots. And, you know, my friend Stephen Galloway has been working on these
things. I love Stephen. He's amazing.
Yeah.
And he does incredible job with Miley Cyrus. And I was actually watching yesterday Grammys and I just loved her performance. And I actually DM'd him yesterday. I was like, oh my God, that was iconic. Well done.
So your profession has a very wide application. Yeah. I mean, you can work not just in fashion. Like, I'm surprised that people who I think of as being really, yeah, really secure and like really, they have a very, very clear idea of themselves and what they do and how they do it and why they do it. It just seems interesting to me that they bring in a movement director to help them,
yeah,
find their bodies in a particular, yeah, situation. It's a very interesting idea to me. I mean, it'd be like if I said to you, what, I'm going to be married next week.
Yeah,
could,
yeah,
you help me to walk down the aisle?
But I feel like that is usually coming from the director because they understand that they need some help because they maybe understand they don't know how to explain the movement to, you know, a specific person who is in front of their camera. So they don't know how to show it. And they're pretty aware that, you know, they need me. So then they introduce me to the talent. And usually they're quite excited, you know, to have some help because there's a lot of going on set. So it's like a good help. I would want a movement director every day.
Do you meet people that it's really difficult to do that with? Do you come across people who kind of resist the idea? Or are they really, really willing just to, because they know you're going to make them look a hell of a lot better?
You know what? I feel like men usually have a problem with me.
Oh, yeah. I could see that. Yeah.
They usually feel like I'm their competition. And I'm like, I'm here to help you. I'm here to like make you look good. I'm not trying to make myself look good. I'm not in front of the camera. I'm here to make you look, I don't know, just sexy, good, you know, and sometimes it's, you know, their ego, but it doesn't happen. You want the names, right?
Yes, of course.
It doesn't happen so much recently, though. It doesn't happen so much recently.
Are they because competitive, I feel like, do you think? They're competitive when you're trying to tell them how to...
Yeah, all directors were so competitive with me before because they were jealous, I guess, that they didn't know how to maybe move and show it, you know, themselves. And I was always sad about it because I was like, I'm part of your team. I'm not here to like be a competition. I'm not your competition. I'm here to make your work look better. Or I'm here to like have fun. And it was just sad to me that sometimes I was getting like attitude from people, but it doesn't happen that often anymore. It was only happening at the beginning of my career because when I started doing it in 2015, people didn't understand what is movement direction. So they didn't know why I'm on set. You know what I mean? So if I was like trying to take a little bit control, they would start freaking out. They would be like, why this guy is like showing
them. Well, you know, if you think about it, you have a vocal coach to tell you how to talk.
Absolutely.
So you have a movement coach to tell you how to move. But what do you think, you said 2015, people were still kind of not sure about the idea. What do you think the turning point was for you when people actually began to realize that this guy's going to make me look a hell of a lot better than I do? Was there one thing that happened, you think, where... Was it Leon?
I don't know. I feel like I feel like the first 3 years were really interesting because I was a bit exhausted always explaining myself. Why am I here? I'll get booked by the production and then I would be still on set telling people, who am I? And that was so weird. I mean, then my work started be a little bit more around and people like were more interested in what I'm doing. And I think they developed more trust in me, yeah.
Who are your favorite people to work with? What sort of people are the most receptive to what you want to do?
I think the fact that I can work with John Galliano is the biggest gift, and I couldn't ask for more. I mean, I'm working with the greatest designers, and he's just so inspiring, you know what I mean? Like, when you work with someone who does such a good research, but his passion to... His job is, for me, for a young person, so inspiring. I'm like, oh my God, I really want to have the same amount of energy that John has when I'm at his age, because we can be in a studio till late night and he's still paying attention to the smallest details. And I'm really amazed by that. And I remember when I started actually working with him, I was thinking, I was like, okay, what's next? Like, who am I gonna work with now? Like, there is no one better than him. So I think for me, now I try to collaborate with people that inspire me because I know myself. If I don't like the job or, you know, their ideas, I'm not gonna deliver good work. You know, I need to feel it. And with John, I always do.
So what does happen next after that show where everybody's still talking about and after people have seen what that can do for somebody's career? I mean, whether you're a designer or a model or whatever. But what about, you know, movies? I think about movies like The Matrix, for example, where movement is critical to the story.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, it seems to me that the whole idea of entertainment, how people expect to be entertained now, has become really, really sophisticated. And it seems like there would be a lot of opportunities in that for you. Do you get approached for
I mean, if
like
I
that?
Get any opportunities, why not? But I felt before that I just have to focus on, you know, fashion, just because that was definitely missing. You know, you can see a lot of movement in movies like Matrix, but you couldn't see any of that on the runway for the last, I don't know, 15 years. So I was like, okay, let me start here. Let me get my work done with this specific subject, and then I can maybe focus on other things. But
yeah, what do you see for your future then? At the moment, you're just kind of living in the moment.
Where do I see my future? I don't know. I don't really know. I mean, I definitely like... I kind of been told a lot of times that I should start taking images, you know, and I like photography a lot, but I'm also aware of the fact that if I become a photographer, I would also be a competition to other photographers. I wouldn't probably be getting booked as much as a movement director. So it's a bit tricky, you know what I mean? Because now I collaborate with photographers, but then I would just have to create movement for my own images. But at the same time, you know, I'm a Libra. I don't like planning things. I like to go with the flow. I like being spontaneous. And that's why I like creating shows, because you don't know what's going to happen. And I love the adrenaline with it.
Do you think it's more interesting in a way to work within somebody else's framework, to bring what you do to somebody else's story?
Sometimes I think I've been thinking about it a lot of times, because I actually like the fact that I collaborate with a lot of different people and every job is different. And I like coming on set and not knowing what I'm going to do. And I think that's the most exciting thing about my job. And I think if I was a photographer, I would have to plan everything and make sure that I know what I'm doing. And with being a movement director, you know, I don't like when photographers or production sometimes asking me, oh, can you send us some references? I'm like, no, one. I'm just going to make you a good playlist. Because what was really annoying for me in the past was that I was creating all those mood boards and then we would have maybe wrong casting and I wouldn't be able to do what I was planning to do. And I would be frustrated and angry on set. And I thought, you know what? Let me just keep it chill, keep it open. I know how I work. I know I can be very quick. So let me just have some ideas in my mind, but let me first meet the person I have to work with, which is the model or actor in front of the camera, because I don't know what they're gonna do, right? I don't know. Like, if I never worked with them before, I don't know if they're gonna be willing to collaborate or if actually they're gonna be good movers.
It seems like filmmaking would be a really obvious thing to do, because that's movement and control of the whole situation. I mean, is that a sort of challenge that you'd be kind of happy to confront at some point in the future, that you would actually,
yeah,
it would actually bring in everything you love to do, music, movement.
Yeah, I like definitely working with singers. And I like working with those singers that don't like to do choreography, because they just want to kind of understand what's their language and they want to know how to move on stage, you know, something pretty that, you know, even Steven does right now with Miley, right? It's nice to kind of create that persona. And that is really exciting. And I love music, so.
Do you see people and you think, oh, I would love to get my hands on them and fix them? You know, do
oh,
you,
yeah.
Who?
Oh, my God, I would get canceled.
Names. No, I'm curious.
You don't.
Maybe they're waiting for somebody like you to come along and they just don't know how to go
I know which designer I want to work with, for sure. I really want to work with Marc Jacobs. And I'm not saying that because he hasn't done any, like, choreography in his shows, but it would be so exciting for me to work with someone also like from America. I never work with Americans. I mean, I do, but like only photo shoots, but never really shows. And I would love to create something that is mine in America.
See, you put it out there. Now it's in the ether. Let's see what happens. You said 2015 was when you first started doing this,
Yeah.
Was that the McQueen? That wasn't the McQueen show, though. That wasn't when the idea first came to you, that movement direction was something.
McQueen happened, I think, in 2012.
Oh, so it was way back then. Oh.
Yeah, and then until I was 25, I was very lost. I didn't know what I wanted to do with myself. I didn't know. I was just very frustrated because I would have a lot of ideas and I would just start doing something and never finishing it. And my mom was like, why are you like painting and why you now taking pictures or why you want to be a DJ, why you want to be an actor, you know what I mean? I was just searching a lot. But I think now looking back, I'm so grateful that I was so curious, because now I kind of use everything that I did in the past, you know, at my job, right? The acting and dancing background and
where were you dancing?
So I was dancing for some artists, but it was in Poland. No one, you know. But then I was a model. And then through modeling, I realized that I love acting. So then I started taking a lot of acting classes for about 3 years. And then after that, I moved to London in 2014. And then I was still a model, but I hated it so badly. I didn't want to be a model. Like, I didn't like to call myself a model. I hated it. I hated when people were like asking me, what do I do? And then I had to say it. And I was always like, I'm a performer. I work in fashion. And I remember I was working as a creative assistant with Aaron Sillis, and he used to work with FK Twigs for about a few years. And then he was the one who actually brought me back into dance, because I just didn't think I would do it again. And he was so inspiring, and the way he was working was so different that I was like, oh my God, maybe I should just go back. And he was like, I think you got something in you. You should start doing it again. And I started working as his creative assistant. So I was helping him, you know, develop a lot of ideas for music videos or shows. And I would travel with him. And then he told FK Twigs that I want to become a movement director. And then she, I don't know why, but she asked him if I want to do movement direction for her shoot. And he called me, because I think he was somewhere, he was away. And he called me, he's like, listen, FK Twigs doing this photo shoot and she wants you to be on set with her. And I was like, oh my God, this is happening actually. And it felt like it was meant to be, you know, because I kept thinking about it already for a few months. And then when she asked me to do the shoot with her, I thought, if I'm going to do this shoot with her, that's definitely my career. I know like this not gonna end pretty soon. And then I did the job with her. And once the magazine was out, I started getting a little bit of attention from other photographers. And that's how it started. But I didn't know really what was movement direction. I didn't, like, I was pretty green. Like, I just heard from Aaron that, you know, there are some choreographers working on set, like fashion shoots. And I was like, really? And I kept thinking, I was like, maybe I'll be good at it. But I didn't know who was like Stephen Galloway. I didn't know who was Les Child. And I think once I started obviously doing more jobs, I was like, okay, can I become a professional movement director? Can I, you know, can this kind of be my job? So then I discovered first, I think, Les Child, and I was like, oh, wow, okay, so this is his career. And then someone told me, I think, about Stephen Galloway working with Inés Evinud. So I was happy that there is not many people doing that job.
How many people do you reckon are doing it?
Definitely more. When I started doing it, it was just Stephen Galloway and Les Child in fashion. And now I think I was the third one. And I think now definitely a few more.
And I just wonder where it goes. I think what the Galliano show established was that there's a real appetite, as we said, for that level of, I think, theatricality.
Yeah.
You said people were scared of theatricality, but I don't think they're scared of it now. I think there's a hunger for it.
They were so disconnected from the reality that they didn't know that that would maybe be something fresh for them, because they'd done it in the past, you know? So they were thinking, oh.
When you went back and looked at Galliano shows, like his Dior Couture shows and things?
Insane.
There wasn't a movement director on those shows, was there?
I don't think so.
When the models coming down the stairs at the Opera Garnier, they were just doing
that. I think it was just all John. Because remember that video with John and Kate when she's running with this big dress? That is the best example of how he works and how he can inspire everyone in the room.
You never went back and looked at those shows and thought, oh boy, what I could have done with those. If I'd been directing the movement on those shows, how much more thrilling they might have been. I mean, they were thrilling, but...
I never watched those shows thinking I would do it better. No, never. No, that's no, because they're amazing. Humble. They're amazing. But like, sometimes I'm like thinking, oh my God, I wish Alexander McQueen was still here and I could collaborate with him, you know, because his shows were also like insane. So I'm watching sometimes his work and thinking, I wonder what he would be doing now and if I could be part of that. So yeah, more that, but I don't think John ever been working before with choreographers. I think models were just so good. They didn't need anyone. It was just John and them, and that's it.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. There were a lot of those women on his catwalk who were born actresses.
And also, it was like a different way of modeling. They knew that they have to do something else than just a walk.
they knew they need to become a character to inspire the designers to get the job.
Do you think that, that a time like that could come again? Do you think that...
I think it is happening right now.
Okay, thank you for
saying that. I guess, right?
Thank you for saying
that. I hope so. I really hope so.
I hope so, because you actually said that you looked at years and years where fashion was just product.
It was.
And now there's a sense with that show the other day, with a few other things that have happened, there's a sense, I really think that what choreographers have brought to fashion is a wildness and a creativity and a passion, as I said before, that is lifting it. One thing that was interesting in the artisanal show was that Gwendolyn Christie was a surprise finale, special guest. Now, she is an incredibly good actress.
Yeah, professional.
And she gave a really magnificent Academy Award-winning performance in that show. How different is it when you have somebody who's used to the performance as opposed to when you're working with all those young models who...
I mean, she wanted to understand everything. Why? Who am I? Why am I wearing this look? What's the music like? Show me the location. Where am I walking? She needs to know every single detail. So I think that's the biggest difference, because she really is collaborating with you and asking you a lot of questions. And it's nice to kind of, you know, get some feedback. You know, she's like, well, why would you do that? Why would I look this way? Okay, where's the mirror? Who am I when I'm, you know,
why am I
in
this great big broken doll?
Yeah.
Okay, so, but that is good. That is interesting for you, though, when somebody comes back with you on a sort of professional level.
Oh, my God, incredible. We were talking about this character for about 2 hours, I think. We were just talking and talking. We couldn't stop talking. We went to this, like, we actually couldn't find a free room in Margiela building. And no, actually, they gave us a room, but the floor was so slippery that I was like, no, we're not going to be practicing your work here. So we went to this kind of tiny corridor and we put a speaker in there and we were like, okay, let's just do it here. And so we were in this really, really tiny corridor, like talking about her character. And at the same time, we were like, oh my God, can you believe we're doing that tomorrow? This is crazy. And I think I was just very excited for her, because I don't think, or maybe I don't remember, that there were any actors working in Galliano's shows back in the day.
No.
I think it was just models.
No, unless you consider that Linda was the greatest actress in the history of fashion.
Of course. Well, like, but, you know, film actress.
Yeah. No, they weren't. No.
So I think she was pretty the first one. I think I told her that and she was like, this is insane. And she was so excited. And also, like, she loves John. And I think it was really so cool to, like, see her just being so overwhelmed that she's part of it. She's like, I can't believe I'm doing it. And you know what? She's just so grounded at the same time. So cool. It was so nice to me, because John was doing fittings with her. And he was like, okay, like, I'm just going to do my fittings with her. And I'm going to call you once she's ready. And then he was like, Patsy, where are you? He's calling me Patsy because there's another Pat. So, you know, Pat McGrath. So it's less confusing for us if I'm being called Patsy by John. So he was calling me Patsy, and then he introduced me to her. And then she's like, oh, hi, Pat. Nice to meet you. And then she went, you're Pat Boguslavski. I know your work. I'm so excited to work with you. And I was like, do you know me? She's like, yeah, of course I know you. So
you got to get used to that. That's going to happen a whole lot more, surely.
But it was just so nice, you know, by someone like her, that she knew my work. And I could tell that she kind of understand what I'm doing with John's shows. And she knew that I'm going to start practicing her work and her character. So that was already a cool start for me. I was like, okay, she's ready to work.
I think one thing that comes across really strongly in these shows that you've done is the role of the audience.
Yeah.
And I really love how in these shows you've seen the models doing things you don't see models doing in other shows. They're interacting with people.
Yeah.
Like they're being told to do that. Like Leon comes out, sometimes it's really scary, actually. Yeah. It's almost scary. He looks at you and you're like, oh, there's this element of unpredictability or tension or whatever. This is a deliberate thing, isn't it?
I mean, for me, I want the audience to feel like they're part of the show, you know? They're actually part of the show. So I remember when I used to take acting classes and we had other people in the room and my teacher told me, use them, like talk to them. Like if you giving, you know, your monologue, why don't you just, you know, staring, why are you staring at the wall? Why don't you just look into their eyes and tell them that whatever you want to say? So for me, I try to always explain to the models, like, use them for your character. If you see someone interesting, like someone sexy, just, I don't know, play with them if you want to, right? Because that's going to make you look more interesting and more believable. So the same thing I was doing with this show, that I was telling the girls, you know, funny stories. I was like, you know, if you see like an attractive man, why don't you try to get any money from him? And they loved it. You know what I mean? They were like, can I? And I was like, of course. Like, I don't know, maybe like touch his ear or like, you know, his shoulder, you know, like do a little dance in front of him. Like, I like when people feel very intimidated. Yeah, it's exciting, and I love the adrenaline with that comes with it. And like I said to you before, why they would be just staring at the camera only if there's so many people sitting around? You know, it's kind of exciting just to like see who's watching you.
This is all part of bringing this new energy to fashion, making it relate,
and I think making everyone feel present.
Yeah.
We're here in this room, like, let's not pretend that there's nobody around. That's silly. Like, let's just, you know, be very here and now and just have a little bit of fun.
I wanted to just ask you quickly about the scene we started with Galliano, started with Artisanal at Margiela. Are you surprised at the intensity of the reaction to the Galliano show?
I'm not. I mean, to be honest with you, I didn't tell this anybody. I was crying after the show. Like, I had to leave the backstage and I had to cry for like 1 minute. And I want to cry even now because it's just a masterpiece. And I was just so part of being, you know, involved. And also talking to some people who were part of it that seen so much in the 90s. And that was so interesting that they were coming to me and they were like, oh my God, I feel alive again, and I didn't feel the same way since 97, 95. And I was just like, this is the biggest compliment, you know what I mean? To hear that from someone who'd been part of the biggest shows in the 90s. So I wasn't surprised. I wasn't surprised because I was so emotional. And I remember, you know, people were coming backstage and they were literally crying. And I knew it's going to be... I just couldn't wait for the next day. I was just like, okay, let's see tomorrow what's going to happen because that night was already so overwhelming. But getting those compliments from people that been in fashion for 30 or 40 years was the biggest gift for me because I was like, wow, if we could bring that energy back, that's the reason why I'm part of this and that's the reason why I'm doing my job.
Well, you deserved it and thank you so much, Pat.
Thank you so much. It was absolutely a pleasure.
The BOF podcast is edited and produced by Emma Clark and Eric Bria in the BOF studio team.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, copyright 2024.